Hi, my name is Ben Witkowski, and welcome to the Universal Language of Music podcast. Today's episode will be the audiobook edition of Episode 8, The Art of Songwriting. Episode 8, The Art of Songwriting. Music has a power to resonate with everyone in the world. It is arguably the most powerful and relatable form of any creative art. Someone who has absolutely no musical ability is still able to appreciate the brilliance of a musical creation. Songs have been around for many thousands of years. The first physical evidence of a song is from a clay tablet found from the ancient civilization of Mesopotamia, some 3,300 years ago. Evidence of song goes back much further than that, though. In Indigenous Australian culture, songs and stories are at the core of teaching lore and relationships with others and the land. These songs are extremely old, dating back tens of thousands of years. In the 20th century, music was constantly evolving. New sounds and technologies have constantly adapted the concept of music. In the hundreds of years before, an evolution of classical music progressed, but was still mainly based around the use of distinct instruments and structures. Music also had no way of being recorded. In 1860, Au Clair de la Lune was the first song to ever be recorded on a phonautograph machine. In 1936, a musician named Charlie Christian put a pickup on the body of his acoustic guitar to amplify the sound of his guitar when playing solos in his band. This was the beginning of the electric guitar. The electric guitar changed the dynamic of songwriting, as it opened up new possibilities for tone, timbre, reverberation, and power. As technology progressed, music's popularity started to become widespread across the world. Though traditional music and historic genres continued, a new wave of popular music, more commonly known as pop, started to emerge. Enter arguably the biggest band in the world, the Beatles. The Beatles revolutionized popular music and have influenced an uncategorizable number of musicians since the 1960s. They did things with music that had never been done before. They experimented with song forms, melodies and harmonies, looping, playing songs backwards, and mashing up various songs they created into one. They also used a wide range of instruments, including the sitar, recorder, kazoo, banjo, and harmonica, on top of the piano, drums, bass, and innovative use of electric guitar. With a record 21 number one singles on the Billboard Hot 100, 1.6 billion single sales, and 177 million albums sold in the US alone, the Beatles have an unbelievable amount of accolades that could be listed forever and a day. What is of particular interest is how popular music has progressed since the Beatles burst onto the scene in the 1960s. Pop has become the most influential genre in modern songwriting. And as technology has advanced more and more, music has become one of the most integral parts of modern culture. When streaming services began, popular music grew its reach across the world. Now, through Spotify alone, songs are reaching new heights in terms of popularity and listenership. Ed Sheeran's Shape of You is the number one most streamed song on Spotify, with over 2.8 billion streams. Indeed, there are 7 songs on Spotify with over 2 billion streams, which in itself is incredible. So how did it get to this? How can certain music be almost universally adored over and over? In the case of pop music, the art of songwriting is actually kind of simple. Let me explain. A song is essentially an amalgamation and a mix of 3 core principles: lyrics, melody, and structure. On top of this, a song is an artistic interpretation of balance. A song must balance with the physiological psyche of the human brain. Namely, there is a balance of order and chaos, of predictability and surprise, of repetition and tangents. With pop music, perhaps the most interesting part of what makes a song successful in the modern commercial culture is the use of simplicity. Simplicity breeds repetition, which breeds relatability, allowing a song to resonate with a larger mass of people. There have been quite a few experiments done in recent times, but one that comes to my mind is an Australian comedy group, The Axis of Awesome, performing in 2009, where they used the same four chords to mash up 38 hip hop songs. Whilst potentially comically surprising, the four chord theory is no secret to songwriters. In Western music, there are only 12 notes to choose from. These 12 notes are separated into various scales. Scales can consist of 3, 5, or mainly 8 notes of the 12. From these scales, chords can be created. These chords can be major, minor, diminished, and a whole heap of other variations. Somewhere along the way, it was defined that a certain 4 particular chords provided massive assistance into writing a hit song. Let's use an example. The C scale consists of the notes C, D, E, F, G, A, and B. C is the root note and the first note of the scale. D is the second note. E is the third, and so on, so forth. In popular music, the most important notes or chords to use is 1, 4, 5, and 6. If you play a C chord followed by an F, G, and A minor, in any particular order, you will be halfway to creating a hit pop song. Further to this, use the song structure of verse, chorus, bridge, double chorus, and you've just ticked off 2 of the main components for writing a song. Now you just need some lyrics. There are other mainstays of popular music structure that can be seen in countless examples. Most popular songs have an upbeat tempo, optimizing the possibility of motor function reactions to the song, dancing, clicking fingers, tapping feet, etc. Pop songs have singable melodies through their usual ease. In a lot of cases, a singable melody becomes more singable when there are small melodic leaps, long notes held on vowel sounds, and a balance of tension and release. Another prominent concept in songwriting is that of antecedent and consequent, better known as question and answer. This concept has been around for quite some time. A famous example is in Beethoven's Ode to Joy. The first melody of the song is the question. It is open, vague, and almost incomplete. The second melody then provides that feeling of closure and understanding. You only need to look at some of the biggest artists of the last 20 years to see that these trusted formulae are magical. Taylor Swift is one of the most prominent examples and greatest users of pop songwriting techniques. Her 1989 album features significant amounts of repetition and a number of songs using the four chord theory. She also specializes in one-note melodies, with over 230 lines in the album using one-note melodies. This creates a sense of relatability and, importantly, singability. What separates Swift from any average Joe trying to use the same techniques, though, is her sense of humanness in her songwriting, as well as her brilliantly captivating use of lyrics. Swift is brave enough to speak about insecurities and difficulties, and often negative emotions, whilst harnessing this proven pop theory. This perfectly equates the balance of order and chaos that produces a good song. For the listener, the relatability of the somewhat ambiguous lyrics combined with a familiarity of song structure and melody allows them to connect with the song, no matter the level of individual music ability. Another band that perfects this balance is Coldplay. Coldplay have not just been relevant for 20 years, but at the cutting edge of the evolution of pop music. Coldplay burst onto the scene in the late 1990s, with most of their music centered around frontman Chris Martin's emotional angst. However, they have redeveloped their sound over and over, maintaining their songwriting style, but still appealing to lovers of variety. The meaning of their music has shifted to messages of philanthropy and humanity, complemented by their vibrant use of colours in their album artworks, live performances, and promotional material. All the while, they have kept an incredibly distinct song structure and melody formation that makes them uniquely their own sound. There is a saying in songwriting, don't give them 4, give them 2 plus 2. amongst all of the simplicity, repetition, and familiarity of songs, an element of curiosity and vagueness must remain to truly create a good song. This is how music is so powerful in drawing listeners into the realm of emotional understanding. It doesn't just spell out an exact form of understanding or an exact state of being. It provides the groundwork for the listener to relate the song to their own convictions, their own emotions, and their own memories. For a musician, it's not about playing an instrument or writing a song to impress people. All music belongs to everyone. Songwriting is about the emotional value. It's about human relationships. It's about the human condition. These are the things that make music eternal. These are the things that make songwriting an art. Whilst this chapter has focused quite a lot on popular music structures, there is an art to writing songs across every genre. Treat this chapter as a bit of an introduction into the future of the Universal Language of Music series. There will be a deep dive into music across specific cultures, regions, and countries to come. On top of this, there will also be a thorough inquisition into different genres. How does country music provide that warm feeling of familiarity so well? What makes jazz so special? Why is there such a strong community in the metal genre? Different genres of music do greatly different things to different people. They all deserve to be explored to help paint this picture of understanding the brilliance of music. They all make up the art that is songwriting, one of the most important cultural and human inventions in our lives.